Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. This is continuing the Lord's travels to Vrindavan. It was really wonderful hearing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's adventures in the Jarikanda forest. I wonder when he was tired of walking, whether Balabhadra Bhattacharya had the opportunity to massage the Lord's lotus feet. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami doesn't go into that many details of the Lord's journey, although no doubt there were unlimited pastimes that took place even on a daily basis. Anyway, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived in Kashi and met with Tapan Mishra. With great pleasure, Tapan Mishra brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and rendered service unto him. Indeed, he began to dance, waving his cloth. He washed the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and afterwards he and his whole family drank the wash water. He also worshipped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and showed him respect. Tapan Mishra invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take lunch at his home, and he had Balabhadra Bhattacharya cook. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest after lunch, the son of Tapan Mishra named Raghu used to massage his legs. Just a note, this Raghu is Raghunath Das Goswami, or Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, excuse me. The remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taken by the whole family of Tapan Mishra. When news spread that the Lord had come, Chandrasekhar came to see him. Chandrasekhar happened to be a friend of Tapan Mishra's, and he was long known to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his servant. He was a physician by caste and a profession, he was but clerk. At that time, he was living in Varanasi. When Chandrasekhar came there, he fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. The Lord, standing up, embraced him out of his causeless mercy. Chandrasekhar said, "My dear Lord, you have bestowed your causeless mercy upon me because I am your old servant. Indeed, you have come here personally to give me your audience. Due to my past deeds, I am residing at Varanasi, but here I do not hear anything but the words Maya and Brahman." Chandrasekhar continued, "There is no talk at Varanasi other than discussion on the six philosophical theses. Nonetheless, Tapan Mishra has been very kind to me, for he speaks about topics relating to Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, we think of your lotus feet incessantly. Although you are the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have granted us your audience. My Lord, I have heard that you are going to Vrindavan. Please stay here at Varanasi for some days and deliver us, for we are your two servants." Tapan Mishra then said, "My dear Lord, as long as you stay at Varanasi, please do not accept any invitation other than mine." Even though he had not made such a plan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained for 10 days at Varanasi, being obligated by the requests of his two servants. At Varanasi there was a Maharashtriya Brahman who used to come daily to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Brahman was simply astonished to see the Lord's personal beauty and ecstatic love for Krishna. When the Brahmins of Varanasi would invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to lunch, the Lord would not accept their invitations. He would reply, "I have already been invited somewhere else." Every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused their invitations because he feared associating with Mayavadi sannyasis. There was a great Mayavadi sannyasi named Prakashananda Saraswati who used to teach Vedanta philosophy to a great assembly of followers. A Brahmin who saw the wonderful behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Prakashananda Saraswati and described the Lord's characteristics. The Brahmin told Prakashananda Saraswati, "There is a sannyasi who has come from Jagannath Puri, and I cannot describe his wonderful influence and glories. Everything is wonderful about that sannyasi. He has a very well-built and luxuriant body, and his complexion is like purified gold. He has arms that extend to his knees, and his eyes are like the petals of a lotus. In his person are all the transcendental symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one sees all these features, one takes him to be Narayan himself. Whoever sees him immediately begins to chant the holy name of Krishna. We have heard about the symptoms of a first-class devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all those symptoms are manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His tongue is always chanting the holy name of Krishna, and from his eyes tears incessantly flow like the flowing Ganges. Sometimes he dances, laughs, sings, and cries, and sometimes he roars like a lion. His name, Krishna Chaitanya, is all auspicious for the world. Everything about him, his name, form, and qualities is unparalleled. Simply by seeing him, one understands that he possesses all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such characteristics are certainly uncommon. Who will believe it? Prakashananda Saraswati laughed very much to hear this description. Joking and laughing at the Brahmin, he began to speak as follows. Prakashananda Saraswati said, "Yes, I have heard about him. He is a sannyasi from Bengal, and he is very sentimental. I have also heard that he belongs to the Bharati Sampradaya, for he is a disciple of Keshav Bharati. However, he is only a pretender." Prakashananda Saraswati continued, "I know that his name is Chaitanya, and that he is accompanied by many sentimentalists. His followers dance with him, and he tours from country to country and village to village. Whoever sees him accepts him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since he has some mystic power by which he hypnotizes people, everyone who sees him becomes illusioned. Sarvam Bhattacharya was a very learned scholar, but I have heard that he also has become a madman due to his association with this Chaitanya. This Chaitanya is a sannyasi in name only. Actually, he is a first-class magician. In any case, his sentimentalism cannot be very much in demand here in Kashi. Do not go to see Chaitanya. Just continue hearing Vedanta. If you associate with upstarts, you will be lost in this world and in the next." When the Brahmin heard Prakashananda Saraswati speak like this about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very much grief-stricken. Chanting the holy name of Krishna, he immediately left. The mind of the Brahmin was already purified by his seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He therefore went to the Lord and described what had taken place before the Mayavadi sannyasi Prakashananda. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mildly smiled. The Brahmin then spoke again to the Lord. The Brahmin said, "As soon as I uttered your name before him, he immediately confirmed the fact that he knew your name. While finding fault with you, he uttered your name three times, saying, 'Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya.' Although he spoke your name three times, he did not utter the name Krishna. Because he uttered your name in contempt, I was very much aggrieved." Why could Prakashananda not utter the names Krishna and Hari? He chanted the name Chaitanya thrice. As far as I am concerned, simply by seeing you, I am moved to chant the holy names Krishna and Hari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "The Mayavadi impersonalists are great offenders unto Lord Krishna. Therefore, they simply utter the words Brahman, Atma, and Chaitanya. Because they are offenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is identical with his holy name, the holy name Krishna does not manifest in their mouths. The Lord's holy name, his form, and his personality are all one and the same. There's no difference between them. Since all of them are absolute, they are all transcendentally blissful. There is no difference between Krishna's body and himself, or between his name and himself. But as far as the conditioned soul is concerned, one name is different from one's body, from one's original form, and so on. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions, for it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental meadows. It is not a material name under any condition, and it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there is no question of it being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. The holy name of Krishna, his body, and his pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifested independently. Krishna's holy name, transcendental qualities, and transcendental pastimes are all equal to Krishna himself. They are all spiritual and full of bliss. Therefore, material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. The mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes, which are full of bliss, attract the Gyani from the pleasure of Brahman realization and conquer him. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the supreme Purana known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of Lord Krishna. The transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna are completely blissful and relishable. Consequently, Lord Krishna's qualities attract even the minds of self-realized persons from the bliss of self-realization. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna, whose qualities are transcendental and whose activities are wonderful. Hari, the personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendent attractive features. Apart from the pastimes of Lord Krishna, when tulsi leaves are offered at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, even the aroma of the leaves attracts the minds of self-realized persons. When the breeze carrying the aroma of tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those great sages, the Kumaras, they experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attracted to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Because the Mayavadis are great offenders and atheistic philosophers, the holy name of Krishna does not come from their mouths. I have come here to sell my ecstatic emotional sentiments in the city of Kashi, but I cannot find any customers. If they are not sold, I must take them back home. I have brought a heavy load to sell in this city. To take it back again is a very difficult job. Therefore, if I get but a fraction of the price, I shall sell it here in the city of Kashi. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that Brahman as his devotee. The next morning, rising very early, the Lord started for Mathura. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started for Mathura, all three devotees started to go with him. But the Lord forbade them to accompany him, and from a distance he asked them to return home. Feeling separation from the Lord, the three used to meet and glorify the holy qualities of the Lord. Thus they were absorbed in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Prayag, where he bathed in the confluence of the Ganges and the Jamuna. He then visited the temple of Vaini Madhava and chanted and danced there in ecstatic love. As soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Jamuna, he threw himself into it. Balabhadra Bhattacharya hastily caught the Lord and very mercifully raised him up again. The Lord stayed at Prayag for 3 days. He delivered the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love. Thus he delivered many people. Wherever the Lord stopped to rest on the way to Mathura, he delivered the holy name of Krishna and ecstatic love of Krishna. Thus he made people dance. When the Lord toured South India, he delivered many people. And when he traveled in the western sector, he similarly converted many people to Vaishnavism. While the Lord was going to Mathura, he came across the river Jamuna several times. And as soon as he saw the river Jamuna, he would immediately jump in, falling unconscious in the water in ecstasy of love of Krishna. When he approached Mathura and saw the city, he immediately fell to the ground and offered obeisances with great ecstatic love. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the city of Mathura, he took his bath at Vishram Ghat. He then visited the birthplace of Krishna and saw the deity named Keshavji. He offered his respectful obeisances to this deity. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, danced, and made loud vibrations, all the people were astonished to see his ecstatic love. One Brahmin fell at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then began to dance with him in ecstatic love. The two of them danced in ecstatic love and embraced each other. Raising their arms, they said, "Chant the holy names of Hari and Krishna." All the people then began to chant, "Hari Hari," and there was a great uproar. The priest in Lord Keshava's service offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a garland. This is the end of the 17th chapter. Oh, they're so ecstatic. I'll continue tomorrow in reading the next chapter, which is actually Lord Chaitanya's visit to Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna.